I'm so grateful for you coming. I pastor church here, bring people out of the woodwork, so to say, surrounding towns and places. Some of them, their lives are miserable, some they aren't miserable or whatever, but we bring them in here, and week by week I labor with them and love them and sow into their lives and such. But I tell them about all these other Christians out there. I'll tell them stories about this person and that person. And some of you I've just mentioned through the years, and I've talked to you, and I just long that you be here. And they just get to see you flower and what you do for Jesus Christ. And I can't thank you enough for just being here and just what you and the Lord do. You've done that here. Thank you. Okay. I don't know, as you know, probably never come up with enough money to really make it worth your while to come here or whatever else, but just you've made it worth our while.
Yes, sir.
Okay, you really have. Now bear with me a little bit. I want to talk to the black people. And I've watched a few things, observed a few things. Now, Seth. Seth's been happy this week. He just has. You have to know Seth. That doesn't come naturally to him. Seth's one of those kids. About the time he was conceived, the fastball came over the plate, somebody else strike one. About the time he was taking his first breaths in life, a fastball came over the plate and strike two. How he walks around life with everybody screaming, strike three, strike three, strike three. I don't know what all went on in the past in Black Creek. I don't know. But I know that somewhere 40, 50 years ago, some pretty desperate sin took place around here. I see the fruit in some of the families. The hurt's still there. Got an aunt over there, and a mama, two women just as dear to me as they can be. They grew up in living hell.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Grandma and grandpa that just loved them, a great-grandma and a great-grandpa that loved them. But the sin of their parents, by the way, their mama's a piano player today here in the church, and I'm just thanking God for that, living a righteous life.
Amen.
You see all these things from Vacation Bible School, she's cut it out and such. Put it there. But sin just tattooed that family. Just hurt them every which way it could. Each of those girls went out there in the life of just destruction and misery. One of my joys this week was that Kyle Beal,
yes,
who will be Tiffany's third husband, she's 32. Been coming here, he sent me a message today. He said, Pastor, something Cliff said last night got to me, and I thought maybe that would work for me. And he said, then when you got up there and talked afterwards, I began to see that maybe this would work for me. And maybe that little family, there's Tiffany, and just I'm telling you, her life has just been hell. Two children, two different men, and now this man says he'll come in and he'll be a daddy to both of them and he will love her. And he sent me a message and said, I got something out of the preaching. It actually made sense to me last night. I want to talk to you. What you said afterwards made sense to me.
Amen.
Okay? And maybe that little family and all that hurt and all that wound and knit themselves together, and maybe this young man here, instead of the bitterness that's been his life and the awfulness, everybody yelling, he'll do this, do that, why aren't you doing this, why aren't you doing that? Hey, how do you like to walk around all day long with depression and misery and your folks hating each other?
Right.
Okay? Try that for a life sometime. And some of you grew up that way. Some of you, that's all you ever knew. Maybe there's just a little chance.
Amen.
With that family, this new thing will wind themselves in with the people of God. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't it be a fruit from this world?
Will they do something about mine? I'm watching the Montgomerys. Now, Brother Knickerbocker's got some books over there. He's got some new books he didn't have here last year, but one of them was written by his mom and published just before a car accident took her out. Talks about how to be a mom, how to raise Christian children. They have four children, three of them actively in the ministry. One of them just a good, solid church member. I'd say that's a book probably worth sure. Some of your mamas getting hands on.
Yeah, amen.
I'd say that a book, I covet that a man has come and brought such a book to my church. I covet that. Such, what a joy. We had the whole week, and it was just so that the man could bring that book into this church. He's only got two copies over there. But we can get a hold of them and get a hold of them. Okay? Wouldn't hurt to take and pass those around, wear them out. Okay? But I don't even know what Mrs. Knickerbocker had done. Look over here at Caleb, single mama. We used to hang out in the Winn-Dixie Park a lot. And we like down there at John Food Mart hanging out in the park.
Yeah,
sir. It turned into a hellhole, no. Jesus Christ came into that family and turned into something.
Amen.
All right. Preached a tremendous message the other day of his resolve to stay clean and pure.
Amen.
And yet I have others of you use the excuse, well, I had a single mama, your reason you're a wreck. I'm a single mama, that's why everything's awful and terrible. My kids are awful. Isn't it amazing that his mother, the same excuse, is trying to raise up a child in righteousness? Isn't that something? You know, circumstances. Yes, the Irish, well, why did you go around in gangs and bootlegging and all that? Well, we came here, they put us in ghettos, they wouldn't let us in the regular schools and that, and they had to do that. Ask the Italians, why did you form mafias? Well, we came over here, they put us in ghettos, and they wouldn't let us go to the regular schools and that, we had to do that. Ask the blacks, why did all this crime? Well, we're here, and they put us in ghettos, and wouldn't let us in this kind of stuff, so we just said, ask the Jews, how come you're bankers and rich and own everything? Well, when we came here, they put us in ghettos. Exact same excuse.
Yeah.
But one took the blessings of God. Covenant God made in their flesh and did so. Okay? What? It doesn't matter what you have, it's what you do. What you do with it. What makes a difference. The Montgomerys, I'm watching, they put a tent up back there because they just want to be close to the preacher. I've had people leave this church over the Montgomerys. You know what my message is? Sayonara.
Yes.
Adios.
Amen.
All right? Arrivederci.
Yeah.
All right? Adios, amigo. All right? Good. Go on. Somebody send a message back. One particular day, Chris got mad at his boy, grabbed him, whether he was mad at the bullet service, blood went through, whatever. And they sent a message, we don't ever want to see that again. And I thought, well, it's still happening, but you won't have to see it, but someone else. Go somewhere where you don't have to see that, okay? Go brag to God how wonderful and pure they are. I went somewhere I didn't have to see bad people, that's bad. Aren't you proud of me, God?
That's right.
Aren't you just so proud of me? Okay. I went somewhere where I didn't have to see people act a little bit less of a standard than I do. And aren't you just so proud of me, God?
Come on.
Okay? My hope is that Chris has never had a good opinion of himself ever. He yet has talents and abilities.
Yes, sir.
I watch him go. Now, since then, he's gone, he's gotten a truck driving license, and he's improved himself within the company, he's got such, learning to read and write hard in his age. Boy, you know the admiration I have for somebody who
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know the admiration I have for that?
Yeah.
I remember when he came here and he worked at Stouffer's Cookies, where they serve but it's minimum wage. And the people who work there are forced to work there by their probation officers, or else they go back to jail. He just go there and work, because if there's one thing you learn, you learn you had to work. You work.
Right.
I like to fall over when I first heard he had a job. I wasn't used to that.
Right.
And I have this hope that somewhere in there he'll realize this preaching's for me. And that God can do these things in me.
Yeah. Yes.
God can do these things in me.
Yes, sir.
What a hope.
Yeah.
If I've had 100 disputes in this church, I've had more than that, but if I've had 100, where I get a phone call, people are mad at each other. Time just been in 93. And I'm really not exaggerating. I'm not. I actually had one person say, how long do we need to put up with this? You know what my answer is? As long as I'm the pastor here.
That's right.
Amen.
You know what I told her? The day comes when they don't want you here anymore. We'll let them find another pastor. You and I will start church. Right? Because I long for the day when all the hatred and the bitterness and the violence and the hopelessness is purged by the love of Jesus Christ. I long for that. But isn't it something, you know, when Jesus Christ hung on the cross, it's just the horse stood there and then run away. Those old wretched women, those ones that the Pharisees said, you know, don't you know whose this is? Don't you know what kind of a sinner that is? They're the ones that stood there. You can take me to Roman soldiers. Your Pharisees can stone us. We don't care. We're going to stand at the foot of the cross.
Amen.
I got some pretty fancy, nice people coming to my church. But look at the ones who come every time, coming here to preach. Walking for them. Crawling to the foot of the cross.
They
want to hear what's said. They want to hear what's said. I love it. I love it. Mr. Bryson needs a home. Now, he has a home right now. Christ has had a number of homes. Christ has been tossed around all his life. Finally, at 17 years old, after his sister died, you know the last words he ever said to his sister? He didn't know what she had in his family. Nobody did. Just a couple kids. You know what you got? You kids, you all fight with each other? Say mean things to each other? His last words to his sister, he told her he hated her. Did he really hate her? No, he didn't hate her. They're just kids. They're just kids. But nobody realized she didn't have a cold. Her esophagus was unattached. He's home babysitting his sister, please. He's got to call 911. But out of that, God wrought something. He learned he met his biological father, who had another family already, but a woman was gracious enough to let him move in at 17. How'd you ladies like that? How'd you like to suddenly find out that your husband had a 17 years old, and you're going to move into the house and get your okay? How do you think you handle that? I admire that woman. I admire her. She don't particularly like badness. She don't particularly like what we do. I have a lot of respect for her. I have a lot of respect for that woman. I met his daddy one time getting off a motorcycle, and I just said, I want you to know. I try to teach my men to be men. I'm glad I found a real man in here. Somebody who can take his son from over the years and take him to the state and bring him in until that age. Christ has spent his whole life on the outside looking, never really part of it. His family's getting ready to move now, I hope. And Christ is just kind of scared. He has no idea what to do. No idea what's going to happen. His dad's given to him August 1st to make up his mind. You want to go with us or not? I personally believe it's his destruction to move out of here now. Somewhere 7-8 months ago, Bryson came into Radio Shack. And if you ever spent time with Bryson, he'll talk and he'll talk and he'll talk. He'll talk, he'll talk, he'll talk.
You know why? Because he doesn't believe anybody really cares, has any value, and thinks anything of him in the world. And if you've ever spent time with him, he's one of the most wonderful personalities. I spent the last 8 months, every single Sunday morning, I get up. He could ride in with Pastor Haynes. He'd take him all day long. At any time, he'd bring him to church. I drive to Olean, and I go to Tim Hortons, and I get a triple-triple with a shot of vanilla coffee, and I get 2 blueberry donuts. And I drive to his house, and I talk to Bryson on the way back. I get my Bryson fix. Okay? I like his personality. I enjoy Bryson. And I'm glad other people are learning. But he's in need of a home. He really is. Somebody said, well, tell him to go get a job. The problem is, for the first few years he lived in Olean, he's worked everywhere. He's kept the latest job because the week before Christmas, he made a pretty good profession of faith, but I keep really thinking, I think he'd save the world. Yeah. I really do. He told me this about 2 months ago. He said, Pastor, he walks 20 blocks back and forth to work. Rain, shine, everything else, they don't give a ride. Mockery gets to work. Comes home to a place, and again, I thank God for giving him that place. But walking back from work, he got to thinking about all the times people had tried to talk about God. God, and he would just reject it, didn't want anything to do with it. And he said, about the time I got to the house, he said, it dawned on me that God came looking for me. And he said, I don't know who God. I walked in my house praying. God looked for me.
Amen.
God looked for me. And it's made a difference because he's holding this job at Burger King. Suddenly they're not trying to purge him and kick him out anymore. There's been some reformation of character. And everybody wants him to run around now and only him and get a job when he's worked for everybody else already before. I don't know if that's going to happen just like that. Right? So he's old. I don't know how to answer that. I don't know what to do. Bryson needs home. We brought rain into our house. The Lord showed my wife and I, each independently separately, we should not move to North Carolina with his mom. We should stay here, finish his high school, go to school with our boys. And there's been a few times it's brought my wife right to the point of wretchedness. You know what Moses prayed? He said to the Lord, please don't let me see my wretchedness. All of us have a wretchedness in us. And every once in a while, things can get twisted around where that wretchedness is on the outside, and we don't want to see that. Moses begged God, please don't let me see my wretchedness. If it's not me, if it's not Tim, it's not Sam, now it's Randy, then you'll see a wretchedness. And it's hot. Okay? Do you think in a million years she would stop and say, I don't want to do this anymore? Never in a million years. Never in a million years. I am so glad that God wound Pastor Haynes into the Black Creek Baptist Church. He has been one of the most natural fits I've ever been in. And when I first met him, I would have never dreamed that in a million years. I just wouldn't. And I slowly watched and realized this guy is totally different than me. Everything I admire in a preacher, he is. And when he retired, I felt like the Denver Broncos when they took Peyton Manning. My goodness, there's some good years. There's a couple Super Bowls in here. All right, there. I mean, that's my. I'm just telling you, what a joy. I mean, just absolute. The man has come in here, and there's been a transformation of a whole ministry. Dale came back to me tonight. I'm in the singing God mode. He said, thank God Pastor Haynes is back. I love it. Folks, thanks for being here. Pray for Black Creek Baptist Church. Pray for what goes on here. Pray for these folks. Okay? Pray that God just work and continue to work his miracles. See, I'm a little funny in this sense. I made a profession of faith that wasn't true.
I'm not a Christian. You know, one of the things I've heard some testimonies from some men got saved at a pretty young age. From their testimony, their profession was right on. They got saved. served the Lord all these years, and it was just right and everything else. And I have loved hearing that. And I'm one of these people that walk for years with a false testimony. My wife's one that walked for years with a false testimony. And you just need to understand the quagmire of the religious person, how hard it is for them to get saved. It's so hard. It's so hard to ever bring them to repentance. It's so hard. And I just, there's only a few cardinal rules I have in this church. You can wear a bikini and sing in the choir here. I'm not sure everybody paid attention to the song. But you can do it. I don't have much rules. But one of them is this. Don't give my people a church.
Amen.
If the Word of God can't do it, then it ain't nothing.
Right.
You know what I tell atheists when I'm talking to them? I say, I'd like to talk to you, I'd like to deal with you. I'm not upset you're an atheist. I'm not upset you don't believe the Word of God. But if the God I have can't prove himself to you, he ain't nothing. He ain't nothing if he can't prove himself to you. And I just remember all the professions and professions and professions I made, and I couldn't make them work. Oh, how well do I remember how I doubted day by day. For I did not know for certain that my sins were washed away. And I lived that. And it's just hell. And I have people who are still living that. And it's just hell. But I know from the Word of God that if they ever really got saved, the same words of that Bible that condemn them now will flow out of their belly like rivers of living water. And it'll be assurance and peace and joy and the fruit of righteousness. It'll be all those things.
Amen.
I'm at the table with people. Somebody get make a profession under their preaching. Well, it's the 32nd profession they've had this year. I'm sure your preaching was so wonderful, and I'd be the one. Okay?
But don't tell them that it's the devil now telling them they're lost. Don't tell them that stuff. Let the Word of God bring them to your church.
Amen.
And you know what? I have a few now who lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubt.
Hey,
I know that they have salvation.
Yes.
And there's a difference in their lives.
Yes.
There's an absolute everyone who knows. Social workers see it. The person stacking beer down at the convenience store sees it. The person stacking the cigarettes down at the Indian reservation sees it. Their relatives see it. And I don't have to go around and try to prod professions out of them.
I have that hope that God wants to do that in every one of my people.
Amen.
Yes.
Every one. Father, I thank you now for the services you've had. I thank you now for these men of God who have come here. And you have manifested your gifts in heaven. I thank you for that. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.